living hell.
This is what real hope looks like. This is the word that those hopeless people need to hear. This is the word that 3,000 people that try to commit suicide today, the 3,000 that will try to commit tomorrow, 3,000 that will try to commit on Monday, this is the word that they need to hear, is that there is hope.
It's real superpower. It's hope. There's hope. It needs hope.
Welcome to Victims and Villains. This is the show where we talk nerd, we talk hope, and we speak nothing else. I am your host, Captain Nostalgia, and welcome to our annual Free Comic Book Day countdown. I am joined this year again by Mr. Riff Daddy from the PS Midnight Cast. What's going on, bro?
1 year anniversary of being a part of this whole shindig.
That is right. This is your 1 year anniversary because we were here last year with talking about the Blue Whale game. Do you remember that?
Yep. I'm going to make sure that this is just as worse as it was last year when I was on.
That's not possible.
That was pretty bad.
And we are joined also by Mr. Brian Hawkins, creator from behind America's Kingdom and Angelica the Rain. What's going on, man?
Hey, man. What's going on? Great to be here. It's on a 1 year anniversary.
Yeah. It's great to finally get you on the show, man. We're gonna dig in a little bit later to kind of a little bit more about Brian, but just kind of give us a brief oversight, man. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
I'm Brian Hall, and you know I love storytelling. I love comic books. You know, I'm a comic book enthusiast fan. First, you could say writer. You know, as a day job, I'm a teacher. I teach English and writing. So kind of just intertwined. Aside from educational academic stuff, it's all really fun and games, which I'm very part of.
It's so interesting having another teacher on this show because we've had Marcel Dupree from Evolutione Publishing a couple times on our show, and that was kind of how we got hooked up. So it's
cool.
Super cool. And Brandon also works at a school.
Nice. A bunch of that's what's up. That's
cool. Well, I don't teach. I'm a custodian.
Oh, well, I mean, okay. We all are teachers.
Yeah.
So
that's cool, man.
All have to play our parts, man.
All right. Well, that's also awesome. So we're going to dig into a little bit of Brian's creative nature in just a little bit. But we're here today talking all about Free Comic Book Day. And the grand question to have up is, Comic Book Day had so many good titles. So, Brandon, what did you pick up this year, man?
Well, I don't want to give it away. What my countdown is.
You can't give away your countdown. You have to give away all your books.
But shouldn't the books be a surprise? Okay, no. Never mind. All right, so I picked up. Well, my other ones are over there. I have to get up to get them. But I picked up. Nightmare Before Christmas one. I picked up. The Power Rangers, Avengers, Spider-Man, Legend of Korra. And then I picked up the SpongeBob one, the Bongo comics, and then Transformers. And that was it.
I'm so sorry you picked up Transformers.
Yeah. But it was sad.
Brian, what about you, man?
All right, so, well, the interesting thing is, that I go through had a rule that you can only get two apiece. So I took my kids with me. I took my son wanted to stay home and play. So they picked up two. They got a DC title. They got the Power Rangers. I picked up my son Spider-Man, and he also got the one. And my dad, I believe it was a Mega Man. She didn't get Transformers, but there was a Malik, Malika, which is and Indy, and got James Bond and the DC Nation. So we were too short of the, because we could only get two. But I buying a lot of stuff though. There was something on Facebook about is comic book is day worth it? One thing I have to say that it definitely got by a lot of comics. So yeah.
I for those of you guys, if you guys haven't picked up DC Nation, it was like, if you didn't get it for free comic book day, it was a quarter, and it's well worth the money. Like, I am so excited for the things that DC has coming up.
I agree.
Dude, like, I just finished Metal, like, a couple weeks ago, and holy crap. I'm, like, catching up right now on, what's-his-face's run on Batman, Tom King, and you talked about Malik, and I just actually met that guy. He did a convention here not that long ago. So I thought it was so cool that he actually had a title that he was going out. We just did a review for EXO, the Legend of Walt Williams, and he's been on our show before. So Unique Entertainment, or Unique Studios as they go by, is fantastic storytelling, and I'm kind of regretful that I didn't actually pick it up when I had the chance.
Yeah, he's done some awesome things. He's in my area. I want to say that he's in Maryland, so he's not that far. And I actually got out of Richmond maybe a year ago. Great guy, you know, he's on his stuff. Great storyteller. Yeah. And I agree with you with DC Comics. DC Nation is awesome. And I mean, I was a little leery, you know. I don't really read a whole lot of stuff. So, you know, going into reading this one with DC Nation, I kind of liked it. I liked what Russell Bendis did, that one short story.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So, so I got 15 comics, and that's coming from both me and my wife's collection. I read all 15. So I have Bongo, The Simpsons, The Mall, Bob's Burgers, Star Wars Adventures, The Amazing Spider-Man, Shadow Man, Legend of Korra, Disney Princess, Invasion, The Tick, Invader Zim, Doctor Who, Overwatch / Black Hammer, Power Rangers. So I guess I had 14. All right, let's jump into top 10. And Brandon, what do you got for number 10, bro?
Number 10, I got The Nightmare Before Christmas, Zero's Journey. Either y'all pick that up?
My shop did not actually have that.
Shame. Well, it made my list because I'm a huge fan of A Nightmare Before Christmas. Movie means a lot to me, so it definitely caught my eye. But reading it, you know, I saw the issue number one there too. So what it is they're giving Zero his own run. So this is like just adventures of Zero. Like this issue shows how Zero starts his journey. Him and Jack are playing fetch, and Jack throws the little bone a little bit too far, and he ends up going through the little portal thingy to get to the other side, get to all the doors that lead to the other worlds. And then he opens the door and ends up a different world, and that ends the book, and then that's the beginning of the series. So, but it was cool. It was cool to see Zero get some spotlight, and just in the artwork as well in the book was really, really awesome. So that was number 10.
I wish I would have been able to pick that up. But Brian, what do you got for number 10, bro?
I'm going to go with the James Bond, actually. Which is interesting because I've been looking at this Dynamite for a while. Never did dive into it. And so it's the, I believe I pronounced it correct, the volume. It's the first issue. The is one Ellis. And thing about this is, it's kind of a mix between what would be the Sean Connery kind of Bond and the Dalton kind. And I think it's good. It's the pacing to me is a little off, but it's James Bond, so it starts off, you know, with him in action, and he, you know, he one bad guy that has this scar on his forehead, and so you know, pertains to that, and kind of once that's happened, he goes into headquarters, and they debrief and. That, you know, they're trying to dismiss, get rid of the 00 programs, you know, has been done before. So the whole story, you know, James Bond, so it's kind of the way. There's not much of anything that's new. It ends kind of abruptly, too, with a mysterious bad guy at the end who lacks emotions and feelings. Again, I feel like it's been done. You know, it's James Bond, and I like it, so it's cool, but it has been done before.
I feel like James Bond's like one of the only areas of pop culture that I just can't get into, and I don't know why. Like, there's something about the like that whole spy thing that just kind of bores me. So it's cool that you had it. It's cool that you had it. It's just, I don't know. I guess I'm not the right audience for that.
I understand.
My number 10 is actually, so like, my doing Victims has really kind of changed the way that I approach comics. This past year, I found myself liking more of the indies than I did do like the major ones, because I felt last year a lot of the books that I was enthralling and was loving were these Marvel and DC books, but I never in a million years thought that this would ever be in my top 10, but my number 10 is Doctor Who. And I'm like a casual Doctor Who fan, so I really kind of wasn't expecting to like it. I just kind of picked it up being like, what the heck? And it's three short stories, but they deepen the mythology and they offer a new take on the transformation. And it also kind of gives a post-credit scene for what's coming of the new Doctor. So I thought that was kind of a nice nod to the fans to experience. And I really chuckled and laughed more than I expected to. So that is my number 10. And Brandon, what is your number 9?
Number 9 is The Legend of Korra.
Really?
Yeah.
So low?
I mean... all right.
Okay.
Now, Avatar and Korra has always been something I've always enjoyed it, but like I have yet to like watch every episode, but like when it would come on or I see it on, like I always can put it on and just really enjoy it. It was an easy show for me to turn on and just like watch, like before I leave for work sometimes it's on and I'll watch it before I leave for work. But to me this book was just kind of carrying on how I view the show, just really fun and I guess innocent in a way with some really strong emotional parts in it. This book follows Korra teaching Milo a lesson about doing things for others and the adventure behind it. Like, it was a really fun read for real though, like this little adventure that came with a little lesson to be taught. And there was another story in it too, Arms, but I didn't read all of that because I read like the first page and it was weird, so I didn't finish that. I don't know if you read it, Josh, but so yeah, that's number 9. There's a core.
We have like you were saying before we started recording, we have clearly different taste. And Legend of Korra's in my top 10 is just, it's way up there.
I mean, like I said, I'm a fan of it. It's just there was other books I enjoyed more. But any other given day, I would read Korra over a few different things. So,
but I will say this as a, before I jump over to Brian, The Legend of Korra and Legend or Avatar, two of the best series. If you can watch it from start to finish, highly recommend it. Once you finish MCU, bro, jump into that.
Oh yeah, speaking of, I was going to say right now, if there's one hint of an Infinity War spoiler, I'm shutting this thing down.
Oh wow, okay.
I haven't seen it yet. I'm catching up.
right on.
All right, so that's going to actually lead Brian. What is your number 9, man?
My number 9 is Miraculous. It's actually from Action Lab, and there's like a show kind of built around it. What I like about it is a kid comic book. Cute, it's friendly. Like the art, the storyline, simple, it's family, but I'm kind of big on pacing. And so if I was to compare between James Bond and this, I would have, this is actually paced well. There's a lot of like, you know, big panels, you see eyes and you see hair, and they're drawn very, you know, in a very cute. And so it's just an appealing book. Just again, story very simple. It's just interaction, and friends, interaction between, frenemies. So yeah, it's just cute.
I'm big on pacing too. So like, I understand that, like, being able to like do like film reviews and comic reviews this past year, it's very much changed the way that I look at entertainment and pacing. As you're telling, you just saying, you know, that you are a storyteller, I totally agree with, you know, pacing is a huge part of whether or not I like something or not now.
Right. Yeah. You know, it's interesting how that plays out. Cause you know, I always wonder if, you know, I guess you could say the craft of writing, or I mean, just how you read things and see things. You know, wonder if subconsciously that was always there or not. It's definitely to the forefront now.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, so my number 9 is actually a show that I love so much, but they just don't really win at comic books, and it's Bob's Burgers. Bob's Burgers it has a formula to the way they do comics, and if you've seen the show, Tina writes in it what she calls erotic fan fiction, which means a lot erotic friend fiction, and so you have that adventure, then Louise has an adventure, and then there's like a musical number that's with Gene. And like every one of these stories, like it's because it's so formulaic, like it's fun to pick up every now and then, but as a series to follow, I just couldn't do it. And right. So like I enjoy the comics to read like once a year, and Free Comic Book Day is usually my chance to do that. So I definitely like what they did with the comic, but I mean, it's just, it was all right. Nothing spectacular. So that is my number 9. And Brandon, what is your number 8?
Number eight is James Bond. Is it Varger? Vagger? Burger? Varger? Yeah.
Something like that.
yeah. I don't have really any knowledge at all about James Bond. I've seen some of the movies growing up, but I just picked the book up just to pick it up. It looked really cool. But I did enjoy the book and the artwork a lot. It was a really fun read, and kind of like it kind of gave you enough in this too to like want to pick up that graphic novel that this is from. So this is short since he talked about it earlier. But yeah, that was my what we had to write. Yeah.
All right, Brian.
So I'm going to go with my number eight, being, this is going to be a tough call. Real quick. So with the DC Nation, can we put that into three different, because rank those instead of one? No? Yes? Is that?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
So, having said that, I'm going to go with the third story, the Justice League story that's in the DC Nation. That was my least favorite. I know that it's spinning out of and they've kind of made these teams, right? Let me see. Yeah, like you have Wonder, Team Wisdom, you have Team Entropy. It's just, in a nutshell, just too confusing, too all over the place. But I think some of the best stories told are stories that can simplify with flex. And I, in this short, they just have way too much. I would have seen one team doing something than them trying to introduce all four teams in two pages each, where you have like their own double page spread. It was just too much. It's just I didn't learn anything. I didn't feel invested in what is supposed to be a larger story. Yes. I mean, I don't care that it's in fighting with like that they're on the same team. That's not something that works for me. So yeah.
I will actually because if you read Metal, it's one of those things that I feel like if you didn't read Metal or didn't follow along with the scope and understand kind of where these guys are coming from, then you don't really appreciate it that much. And when they announced these new Justice League series that were coming out, spinning out of this huge event, like it was kind of like, okay, these are villains and heroes that you haven't seen before, that you really haven't invested to. And I was really kind of interested to know how they were going to do some of these things. And I really enjoyed the pacing of these, the storytelling. Like, it gave enough for a fan who's followed the series to anticipate on what comes next. And I guess if you didn't follow Metal or you don't know, like, vaguely anything about it, then I can understand where you do, because it, from an outsider perspective, it does look rushed and it does feel that, you know, you're supposed to set up this massive event. You have six pages to basically do that. So I understand that.
So, like, I stopped at issue four, and I just didn't catch back Metal, which I liked. And then I spun off into the shots that they had with Batman. But I don't know. I mean, I guess maybe if I caught the of that arc, I believe it was 12 issues, right? Or 8? 26. It was either 8 or 12, I think.
Okay. It was 26 when it was combined all together, but the root of it was about, like, 8 issues.
Okay, yeah. So maybe if I had, this would have made more sense to me. Just, I don't know. I mean, each page is a spread of, yeah, like a spread of the team. Like, here's the introduction of the team. Here's the introduction of the next team. Here's the introduction of this team. And I like DC Comics. I mean, I like what they're doing in the comic line. I just didn't care. But yeah, so fair. I feel you, though. I probably do what came before, though. Okay.
It's like I started it so late. Like, I was starting to read it as the final issue was rolling out. And Ian Bates, who is no stranger to the show, I was texting him and telling him, he was like, bro, it's so good, but there's so much to follow and so much to read. And so I was trying to shovel through it as quick. And it's, dude, it's a massive event, but it is one that it just is amazing. And I don't think I've ever read anything from Scott Snyder that I haven't been thoroughly pleased with.
Right on. I would agree with that.
So my number 8 is an annual thing for me since I've been doing Free Comic Book Day. Bongo Comics has always been on my must-read list, and Free For All this year was was still the same. Lisa, the Educational Clown, skateboarding, Bart Simpson to go outside, and the feats of fury with Milhouse and the Hillbilly. Abduction. I thought it was, you know, these stories are, I'm a fan of The Simpsons, but I'm always a fan that I want to read, or I prefer, like, the first 10 seasons versus the latter 20 seasons, because, like, I feel like the humor in it was stronger, and the writing in it, like, while it hasn't gotten, like, dumber, it was, like, more quippy, I guess. Is a better way to say that. And this definitely feels like more of the newer stuff that they're putting out, which, again, not terrible, but not as great as the first 10 seasons. So a little bit lower on my list this year. And Brandon, what do you got for number 7, man?
Number 7, I have The Amazing Spider-Man.
Ooh.
Yeah. It was cool. You like it? Oh, that's cool. it's a kickoff to a new Spider-Man series coming out in July. And it was really cool to kind of see, like, some action in this with Electro and Rhino and Memorine. And have Fisk in it, too, so that was really neat. But what was going on, Peter and his buddy Randy are looking for a place to rent in the midst. And in the midst of that, the three villains, I think off a second ago, they run in with something they stole, and Spider-Man goes to the rescue, and when all said and done, we also find out that Fisk is the mayor, so that's cool going into the new Amazing Spider-Man series. It'll be out in July. And then, also has... No, never mind. Different comics. Okay, I'm done.
The Guardians backup was better than the Spider-Man one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah?
Yes.
Well, I mean, I just saw it as just like a filler, just like information, so I didn't really like...
Because...
Yeah, it was cool.
I felt like coming out of The Amazing Spider-Man, it was like, okay, this is cool. Spider-Man's going to be living with his enemy. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I forgot to put that part in there.
See, for me, and this kind of goes into my number 7 as well, which is Spider-Man. I have a hard time with Spider-Man lately, and here's why. I can't get past Superior Spider-Man. There's a block for me. Bias there, I guess, because I think that story was such... I love that story. And I just can't get to regular Peter Parker. I just... hard for me. I want to. I just can't, because I don't, in my mind, it's just, we've seen everything with Spider-Man, you know, it's like, it's very much like, you know, how do you breathe new life into something that big and bad, Spider-Man? How do you do with that? Tom King has found a way to do it back to me. The Spider-Man, I'm still kind of honest. And I don't think this right here is life into Spider-Man. So, but it, again, it's a Spider-Man story, so it's fun. So I have it at 7, but I just can't get past a Superior Spider-Man.
Yeah, that, I still need that, to read Superior Spider-Man.
Oh, my goodness. I love that. It's, I think that might be my Spider-Man arc, to be honest. I love it.
I picked up the amazing, the last reboot that they did. I picked up and followed it for a couple issues, and it was kind of like after the, it was set after the events of Superior Spider-Man, and like the way that they described it, like, I'm not a Spider-Man guy usually. Like, to me, I feel like he works in the movies, but not so much in the comics. And reading this Spider-Man story was the reason, brings me right back to why I don't read Spider-Man. But I wanted to, Superior Spider-Man has always been a book that I've wanted to check out, or a series that I've wanted to invest time into, because it, to me, like, it's just such an interesting concept. And I think you're right. I think that, you know, it, from what I've heard about the Superior Spider-Man, you just, you, that's just kind of a story that you kind of can't go back to, back from.
Right.
And, you know, we're lucky with Batman because Scott Snyder set the bar for Batman so high for Tom King to follow, but Tom King's crushing it. And, like, if only Spider-Man has that potential to be that character, but, you know, if you're going to do it, Spider-Man would be the perfect kind of guy to do, like, a Dark Knight Returns kind of story where he's aged and he's, you know, coming, needs to come out of retirement for whatever reason, or do a Kingdom Come version of it. Because that's stuff that we haven't seen before. Like, on the cinema, we keep seeing the younger, like, they keep getting younger and younger, and they think that's the only way that it can work in the comics, too, so.
Right, exactly. You are spot on.
Maybe I'll pitch that to Marvel.
Yeah, right, right. An older age, maybe a domesticated Spider-Man. And, you know, let's see what he does full-fledged, who has problems, who maybe is married or divorced or something that puts him in a new place. I don't know. I'm right with you.
All right, so my number 7 is probably Brandon's number 1. Disney Princess. I am a huge Ariel and Little Mermaid fan, so I really enjoyed this one. It is a collection of comic strips set in the Little Mermaid arcs. It features everything from voice rehearsals to thingamabobs, and I really did laugh a lot during this, and it's good humor. It was well written. The art is electric in it, and my biggest complaint about it was I hate the way that they did it. Because, like, when you hold it, you have to hold it like a calendar. So, like, to me, it was really insignificant and really just kind of a pain in the butt. Because when I'm reading and I'm in bed or I'm on the couch, like, I'm used to having my arms holding, you know, horizontal, not vertical. And I don't know. It's just, it's a small complaint, but eh. Brandon, what is your number... 6.
Number 6 is Adventure Time with Fiona and Cake.
Nice.
This is really great. I'm a huge Adventure Time fan. So this is something that I really loved reading. Always up for a good adventure with these two, or Finn and Jake. Well, I like the this was fun. I mean, Fiona and Cake were on their way to Gumball's Punch Parade with her famous adventure punch that didn't have a name until the very end. And ran into some obstacles on the way, and Cake was also writing a story about characters similar to them that were pretty much just Finn and Jake. And, like, she would tell the stories and the mishaps they got into on the way to the party. But Fiona wouldn't listen and took matters in her own hands instead of listening to Cake on it, but it was just really fun. The art was really cool as well. I really enjoyed it. It was a really good read for Adventure Time fans.
Cool.
Yeah, I didn't read Adventure Time.
I'm not familiar with it. I'm like, I've heard of it, but I never comic or there's show as well, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like it's like a whole bunch of college kids decided to take acid and create this show.
Hey, it worked out for the better. It was a good show.
I guess it's a matter of perspective.
I definitely need to check it out then.
So what do you got for number six, man?
I had DC Superhero. My daughter, actually, when she got this book, was driving home, and she popped it open, and she just straight through it. And so, you know, first question was, how was it? Good. Like, thumbs up. So what I can say about it is it's get these two superhero girls, like Supergirl, Wonder Woman, Katana, Batgirl, and they're in like high school, you know. They've been made to a younger audience. It's more free flowing as far as art goes. There's not a large panel, big eyes, hair, appeasing. And the story is very simple. They take the character attributes and, you know, they kind of streamline them down to fit who they believe their audience is. My favorite part of it is actually the interactions with who, you know, doesn't get a action or burn in regular comics. And it's quite unique. A younger cat girl in this kind of almost like this sorority, and they're all interacting. No real like bad guy. But more they're reacting to what life throws. So it's like a Nickelodeon, Disney, young adult. So it's cool.
I actually picked that up last year, and it was like really high on my list. The thing that I like about that line is that they're like 9 times out of 10 when they do like Free Comic Book Day or like Halloween Comic Fest, it's supposed to be for a younger audience, but it's a thing that I feel like if you're a DC fan, you can enjoy as well. And I found myself laughing a lot last year when I picked up the issue. So how was the humor in this one?
Well, again, I've been using the word a lot. I'm kind of, because I like the kid shows. Watch it, my kids. So this is exactly the same. It's not a, I'm going to roll on a floor kind of, you get the humor, you smile, you get a good chuckle, and it just feels nice.
So my number six is actually, it's the Overwatch title, but it's not number six because of Overwatch. I actually despise the Overwatch section of it, but there's a portion, a backup comic in here for a preview for the upcoming series called The Quantum League, which is, it looks to be from Jeff Lemire, and Jeff Lemire did an amazing run on, I'm trying to think of it, Green Arrow a couple years back, and from what I've heard, he's probably one of the best Marvel comic writers guy now, so I really enjoyed it. It was because it had this feel of like The Boys, but like done in like a more sci-fi kind of way. So it kind of shows the, if you guys don't know what The Boys is, please check out our episode on Mr. Derek Robertson, one of the creators from it. But the essentially the concept behind The Boys is showing that the darker side of kind of heroes. That heroes at the end of the day, that they might be super, but they're heroes too. Like they're still people. And I liked that it's essentially like the story was about these golden age crime fighters who sacrificed their life, quote unquote, and they're like living in a ranch like Hawkeye in Age of Ultron kind of thing, and they're just kind of chilling there, and then like the newer age heroes find out that there's this mystery that they're still alive, and it was really intriguing and made me really want to pick up the series. And I feel like when it comes to Free Comic Book Day, that's what I want. I want to have either stories that are going to sell me on a upcoming product that you're going to be pushing out in the next few months, or give me a good standalone story. And the Overwatch title really didn't do it for me, but the Quantum Squad or the Quantum League really made me want to check out the Black Hammer series. So I'm excited kind of moving forward, but we're actually going to take a brief commercial break, and we will be right back on the other side of the Hopeverse talking all things in Free Comic Book Day. Welcome back. We are still hanging out, still talking nerd, talking hope, and we are counting down the top 10 titles that we picked up for Free Comic Book Day. But before we get to our top five, we are going to do a quick recap real quick. So, Brandon, what do you got from 5 to 6? Or from 10 to 6, sorry.
10 to 6, grab. All right. Nightmare Before Christmas, Zero's Journey, Legend of Korra, James Bond, Amazing Spider-Man, should be Spider-Gwen, and Adventure Time.
Brian, what do you got, man?
All right, I believe I still have this. I believe I had James Bond, the one third of the Justice League that was in the DC Nation, the DC superhero. That was my 10 through 6.
Okay, so mine was. Right, you are correct. Mine was Doctor Who, Bob's Burgers, The Simpsons, Disney Princess, and Overwatch. And before we get into our top five, we are going to get to know our guest for the week a little bit closer. So he has done series like America's Kingdom and Angelica, The Reigns. So tell us a little bit about the process and what America's Kingdom's about, because that's the first series it looks like you had done.
Yeah, so America's Kingdom is, what if America was never a democracy but a monarchy? So it's modern day America with reign and rule of a descendant of Washington named Prince Jeffrey, who is heir to the throne of the United Kingdom of America. So it's really born this one at high school that I remember, high school history, where George Washington had the to be and he and so one day I was an undergrad diving down Broad in Richmond, and I just thought about how, like, what would a modern day Civil War look like? And then thought about high school, that question, that whole idea of George Washington connected to it. And from the idea of America's Kingdom, so where it came from. And it's been kind of a 10 plus year process, writing and rewriting. It actually began in the form of a screenplay, and it,
wow.
I have several versions of the play, and then it with this some as a novel, then it evolved into kind of a novel, then single issues. It's taken a lot of forms. It got to the place where I knew it. Which I believe is format.
So you guys right now are, it's in a graphic novel, and congratulations on the completion of it. I feel like there's when, especially when you invest 10 years of your life in it. And so I'm kind of curious over the amount of time that you said that you put into it. There is this really long process of, you know, transforming from a screenplay to a novel back to a comic, you know, to tweaking it. Now that it's finally done, what kind of separates the comic from the other versions that you invested all your those time into?
Well, the story, the screenplay, the premise is really the same. But how it out from the screenplay to the comic is totally different. I have different characters, some of the names, but in the earlier, there was a king, a Saul that comes, but there's no Saul in the novel form. I actually have a novel form that's actually written, and that's kind of paired with the comic format, but there's a difference there as well, because what ends up taking place is, with the comic book, you know, more visual, and so you are, you're coursing through the visuals of it. And you have dialogue that kind of drives the narrative, and the story is told in a pictorial way. Where novel is obviously it's progressive, and you're in the head of characters. It's third person, but you still have to follow the narrative through the and you get the thoughts along with some of these actors. So more cerebral. Learn different things with the novel than you do in the comic. You'll get information a different way. And it's to kind of go back and forth to write, but because some of the things that's in the comic, you know, are not obvious, and some of the things that's in the novel obviously not in the comic. Team dynamic.
Nice. So, with it being, I'm kind of curious because I'm a movie junkie. So, mm-hmm. Being that this started as a screenplay, do you ever plan to revisit it, you know, maybe further down the line if you can, you know, grow the following for it past the independent market?
I would like to. I have a few ideas written down of how I would like the film version to be. And what with the idea of just writing it out as a screenplay now, just to see it would actually be coming from me now. I just haven't time yet too, but I'm definitely interested in doing that, just for the sake of writing it, to see what it would be like. So yeah, but I already know that it wouldn't start the same way as the book does, and I know it start off the same way as the comic does. It's close, exactly the same.
Well, cool. I'm excited to see it. I have a copy of it, thanks to you. I have not had a chance to read it. I was planning to read it for tonight, but man, my schedule has just been insane.
I totally get it. I totally get it.
But I'm excited to sit down and do it. And I was actually got to be one of the supporters for the last Kickstarter that you had done for Angelica Reigns. So tell us a little bit about the story of that character as well.
All right, so Angelica is born from SFC Comics, which imprint of Marcel's parent company. And basically, she is a young woman who is kind of looking for her identity. She's in search of who she is. She's in this world of magic. It's inherited. Her mom was in it, her grandfather, and she's kind of, and she's been cursed. You know, it's very much like how Harry Potter was born into his family, and so you know she had kind of curse upon her that was brought upon something her mother was attempting to. So she's imbued with this kind of dark power. And so it's been following her whole life. And so it becomes a story of a coming of age story, a story of identity, fate versus free will. And what we find out in issue one, it's really just the occurrence of her really being on the path of discovering who she is or who she could be and accepting that path. Up until this solo series, she's been on the run. She's been in the SFC, which is a super championship fighting club. She's just kind of gone around as a young woman, just trying to figure out who she is and maybe even escape who she is. So this issue one, she's forced to be on that path now.
Ooh, I got the first two issues, when production finally gets done. I'm excited about reading it. It was one of the Kickstarters that I missed last year because I kept saying I'm gonna do it, and I was like refreshing Kickstarter like the day that it went live, like trying to make sure that I didn't miss it.
Oh, that's all. Cool.
So I'm super excited to read it, man. And
cool.
But what's it like, kind of writing switching between, you know, writing a more politically driven like war story to something of, you know, more fantasy and sci-fi?
It's cool. It's definitely, you definitely have to switch gears. The cool thing is with America's Kingdom, you know, a lot of it, you know, I've been writing it for so long that to where like I'm really ahead a lot. So I was able to take a break from writing America's Kingdom and when I came from Marcel and his company to jump on as a freelance writer for a character that I didn't create. It was something that I really, really wanted to do. I had been thinking about it, and when he gave me the opportunity to be in the sandbox, right, with his toys and allowed to play with, I welcomed it. So it was switching gears from political drama to fantasy. I got to explore a world where, you know, I've been rules. I could have been a lot than I could in a world that's kind of in our reality. You know, magic and what could happen. And so the spectrum of creativity opens up because you're no longer limited to, you know, what realism is. It's wide open. And that's probably why I really do enjoy, you know, sci-fi, because you can bend and you can go beyond what you're actually living in. So it's been really cool.
Has it been a challenge for you to kind of, you know, step into that a new genre?
I would have to say, I won't call it a challenge. It's been different. I wouldn't say because I don't feel like it's hard, but it's been something I definitely had to approach from a different angle. Where America's Kingdom, you know, is a mature themed book. You know, it's adult, like, you know, like The Walking Dead, where, you know, it can be more graphic and there's some curse words. With Angelica Rain, it's more, I would consider what you would say, like, mainstream. And so I had to switch my mode of how, where I couldn't just say, I couldn't just write this narrative this way in this panel and to be what it was. It had to fit mold. It had to fit a certain, it had to have a certain feeling. And that part, I would say, yes, is challenging because I hadn't done it before. But I desperately did want to do it. And so, yeah, it honestly has helped me as a writer. It's changed how I view writing, view storytelling format. It's had a tremendous effect on me.
So cool. So I don't know if you actually want to announce it here, but you had shared when I first approached you about being on the show, you were talking about a third comic that you guys actually have in the works right now, dealing with the mental health and the suicide prevention nature. I don't know if you want to talk about that or not. That's the hush hush.
Not hush hush. So the opportunity arose maybe it was several months back. It's called No Going Back. It's a story created by Christopher Harris, myself. He's a comic book artist and creator. And we were to create a short story for an anthology that was being done. The Fourth Monkey anthology was on Kickstarter maybe 6 months ago. What ended up happening was we story called No Back, and we wanted to do something. The whole premise of the was it was to be something impactful, a social issue, something else. And so he and I was talking, and he had a friend of his who committed suicide, and so we started talking about that, and we began to talk about the sci-fi fantasy angle from it. So I began thinking about it. And so I came back to him and I pitched him this idea, take that issue and spin it around some sci-fi. And what it turned out to be was a time travel tale that is centered around suicide. And no going back to, you know, to things. But one is like, you know, something is done, you know, can't go back and fix it. Or if time travel is there, can you? So that short, we liked the short a lot. And so we decided, like, there's definitely more to this. And so we carved out right now a five issue story that is geared, each issue is geared towards age of grief, and we'll look at it through the lens of our main character, her pursuit, Jules Valdez, and her pursuit of trying to fix something that is wrong, and even her in what has and her dealing with it, which where the five stages of grief actually come into, and that's a story that we are currently trying to pitch a publisher, waiting to hear back, maybe any day, any week. We'll see what happens.
I've read the very brief thing that you've sent me, some of the scenes. Oh my goodness. This is a comic that I'm highly anticipating because, you know, being passionate about mental health and also being able to kind of embrace the very real effects of, you know, suicide is an awesome concept for a comic. So I wish you the best of luck on that. You guys can... Thank you. No problem. You guys can click the links in the descriptions below and check out America's Kingdom. It is the only thing that he has done fully right now. Completed collection. So please go support Mr. Hawkins. But we're jumping into the top five of our free comic book day celebration. So, Brandon, what do you have for number five, man?
I have... Wait, wrong pile. Okay, Avengers Earth Mightiest Heroes and the Captain America on the that came after. Truth be told, hey, before I get into this, I forgot to talk about some of the DC stuff. We didn't get any of those for some reason.
No, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's kind of odd.
I'm sorry.
Huh. So, yeah, I hate to miss out. Yeah.
I understand.
But, oh my gosh. Okay. I lost my spot. I took notes this time, Josh, because the last time was a hard one. I just lost my notes. Okay. So, yeah, I'm very behind on the Avengers and Captain America storylines and stuff because I'm so bad at keeping up with what's going on currently. But despite that, this is an easy and enjoyable read for me. The Avengers was very compelling, and the stuff with Black Panther was really cool, and Odin. Mm-hmm. It was really cool being asked to kill Loki and his sibling, the Avengers. And then the Captain America part was odd. For some reason, for me, I was kind of confused what was going on. But I mean, it's a lead into something coming up, so maybe I'll get into the new series instead of being behind so bad. But all in all, man, it was a really fun book for real. I liked it.
Cool. All right, man. Brian, what do you got for number five?
I have Shattered Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
Ooh.
At that. I am not a big Power Ranger. My son, he seen them heavily for a while. So when I picked this up for him, I'm thinking, yeah, well, he loved this because I at least used to be in two, still is to a certain extent. Love the movie. And I also read, how series from Boom has, you know, booming, you know, it's been doing very well. It's highly anticipated. I believe the next arc will be magnificent. I think it's so like in the second, it's in the second, or something like that. So going into this, high expectations, and I would have to say, for the most part, they are met. I like the power more in this format, actually, in the comic book format, than I do in the TV show. There's a little bit more, I guess you could say, seriousness about the comic book. They're still playful, still jokes, but everything seems to flow back with the Power Rangers, and for me, than it does TV show. I like the movie more than I like as well, though. So, yeah, I good out. It's paced well for what it is. The book is solid, and I feel like it's not dependent upon the show as far as the story. You know, they've expanded the story now, and they're challenging some of, I would think, is the flow of the story where you kind of know what happened on a TV show. This, you know, single left kind of open.
So yeah. You guys are not reading Power Rangers, the comic. You are missing out. It is one of the best comics on sales right now. Kyle Higgins is absolutely killing it, and I agree with you, Brian. I think that this is a series that works a lot better as a comic than it does a television series, because with the first arc, I picked up the first graphic novel last year at New York Comic Con, and what I found was it was still this concept of Power Rangers, but what it's done is it really challenges the mythos to be adult and to prove mm-hmm. that they can still stay the same lore, but can deal with the very real repercussions and like themes that come with, you know, having such all this power at such a young age. And oh my goodness, it's one of the best books on sale right now. If you're a Power Rangers fan and you're not reading it, you are missing out. Go Go Power Rangers is right up there with Mighty Morphin. So I highly recommend two series to follow right there. All right, number five for me is The Tick. I am a huge fan of The Tick. I loved the Amazon series, and The Tick has just been a cornerstone for my Free Comic Book Day since I've been doing Free Comic Book Day. And this one just is not just this just keeps with tradition. Great one-off stories that deepen the mythology of The Tick and set him in some really unique, fun experiments. While also throwing the pizza boy from Deadpool in here. And it just, it deals with some really cool things. It has some really great, art experiments in here. They try different styles. Some of them work. It kind of gives an origin story at the same time to, one of the characters in here as well. I really, really do like with The Tick. The Tick's a nice annual throwback to nostalgia. It's not forcing any other stories down your throat. They're just fun, Free Comic Book Day exclusive one-offs that I really enjoy. And I really respect New England Comics for doing that. Look, this is our big summer epic. No, this is just a jumping on point for anybody, whether you're 80 or 8, the Tick is just a fun all ages comic that just is irrelevant and fun and awesome. So, Brandon, what do you got for number four, man?
Hold on, I was eating a pretzel and it got stuck in my throat. Number four, Ghost in the Shell.
Man, I was so ticked off when I found out that our shop did not offer Ghost in the Shell.
Well, I'll just have to mail it to you.
Hey, I'm holding you to that. I'm holding you to that.
I still owe you your Christmas present. I still haven't sent that.
That's true. I forgot about that.
Yeah, me too. It's not funny. you'll get it. Ghost in the Shell is another one of those things I've always liked, but still have yet to like see everything of it. But the front of this book says there's a new story. So I was like, okay, cool. So I had no idea of anything that happened beforehand. But this book was a really good, enjoyable, easy read for me. The artwork was solid, and the action and characters were true to what I've always liked about the series that I've seen. It's short. Kusanagi and her team are set for a mission in Shanghai, and later see where Natsu and old friend Lee to help with the mission. It's been 10 years since Laos. I'm not really sure much about that. But then they are looking for some stuff from it. Come to find out, her friend is involved with it, and it ends with her killing Lee. And then it, you know, goes on the ends, and then I guess it's the start of any story that's coming up. I guess. I'm not really sure. But it was really cool. The artwork was really nice. And Kusanagi was still killing it. Still hot. So that was nice.
Question for you. Who actually publishes it?
Kadanasha Comics.
Okay, so it is from the... Is it setting up for a new series?
It says, complete all new story inside. Hardcover anthology coming September 2018.
Sweet. Yeah.
You're in the back. Yeah, I mean, I guess it's just maybe a graphic novel coming out or something.
I'm excited. I'm a huge Ghost in the Shell fan, so I might actually pick up the original one tonight and watch it. Brian, what do you got for number four, man?
Before, I'm going with the Earth Mighty Heroes. I actually ended up picking number one. This is kind of the prelude to the number one. So I ended up getting this one and the other one too. So here's what I like. I'm a huge Black Panther fan. Odin, Thor. I'm mythos completely. And so what I like about this, and especially since I've read one already too, I like the setup that they have here for Black Panther and Odin. I like that they're interacting. They are crossing this in Asgardian bridge. You like the melding of these worlds. Like, it's so old. You know, it's too old kingdom realms, worlds, and they are colliding, and we find that they're connected. And you even larger idea of how with the first of this new one. I love the dialogue that Odin and I love that, you know, that Odin Black Panther to kill Loki. Like, nice. like Thor can't do this. I need you to do it. And Black Panther comes, you know, the Black Panther isn't a hired assassin. You know, and Odin speaks to T'Challa as if he knows T'Challa, like, you know, you don't really know him. Well, I've dealt with Black Panther before. You all have this same trait. So it really has this great feeling of, like, just, well, not really history, but, like, this myth. So I definitely love that. The Captain America, this one reads very interesting. And I'm looking at it, and it's very much, I would have to say, is very much Coates to me. I know he's going to be taking over America in July, I believe. And it reads very much like his Black Panther. Where he's looking at America. He's looking at what is Captain America now? It's very much, man, like Superman was born out of an era where America was different, or, you know, a different America. So was Captain America. So how do you make these almost all American superheroes fit this now? And we don't get interest in this, but you can tell that he wants to do something different. He wants to deepen what Captain America is. I think the Captain America movies is excellent. And I think Captain America is deeper than in the comics. So I'm looking for Coates, same thing, to bring to the 21st century.
He had an excellent run on Black Panther. You're totally right. I binge read his first 20 issues before seeing the movie, and I felt like I had such a higher appreciation for the character because of that. And I'd read a little bit of Christopher Priest's run back in the 90s, but Mr. Coates has a phenomenal run on the series.
Agree. I might with you.
All right, so my number four is The Maw. And this was one that I wasn't really sure if I was going to pick up or not. I stared at it for two or three minutes. But I picked it up because it looked pretty in pink with guns. And it was awesome. It's essentially about a mob boss who owns this, it's a pretty much a mob boss that owns this mall and has this rival gang that essentially he's trying to make up extra money for. And this kid is like, hey, I know your rivals will totally not like this, but I'm going to do it anyways. And it was a really fun read. It was about a kid that was trying to win over the heart of his crush. And it was a really fun throwback to the 80s. And The 80s are some of my favorite music, movies, television, comics. So I love indulging into that kind of nostalgia stuff, and it was just a really fun read. I wouldn't necessarily say that it made me want to invest into a series or a graphic novel, but it was still a fun read. But Brandon, what do you got for number three, man?
Number three, I have Super Street Fighter II Ultra.
I knew you'd pick that up.
Well, dude, I'm a big Street Fighter fan, man. love it. That's one of my favorite games from growing up. I don't remember. I think the one they did last year was in my top three, so I can't remember. So this first issue picks up after Ken and the World Warriors defeats the Lord Raptor and the Dogstalkers. But in the midst of that defeat, Ken is bitten, and he has his dark urges that have brought to the surface. He becomes Violent Ken. So Ken travels to Ryu to help him conquer his dark side, like Ryu has done for himself. Ryu tells Ken that he needs to find the one thing he loves the most to keep the darkness from overtaking him, and he finds that as his wife and kids stop him from killing Rufus, who tries to defeat him to become the best fighter in America. But this is a really fun book. If you're a Street Fighter fan, I mean, it's just fun to read through. The artwork is awesome, and you know, Ken and Ryu is just a good story to be. Anything with them two is a good story to be told. Also, wanted to say real quick before I pass it on to Brian, they are also fixing to do a series for Sagat. You know, they were the eye patch. Mm-hmm. I think it comes out in April. No, it's not. No, not April. April's past. It's just coming this year. A 4-issue series for Sagat. So that'd be really cool. We'll try to read that. But yeah, so that's and there's also a new Street Fighter series coming, and the cover of it has Cammy on it. So I probably will get it. That's it for me on that one.
Alright, what do you got for number three, Brian?
Okay, so I'm going to split again DC Nation, and I'm going to talk specifically Superman's story. I have for my number three, and it's pretty high up because Bendis did something that I liked in this, and it just really stood out to me. And what he did, he got rid of Lois Lane. Mm-hmm. And he did it in a fashion where he didn't. And he doesn't really make a big deal per se, like, picks up the story. It's kind of just alluded to. You get feelings about it from White, the editor in chief. You get the action. You kind of get bits and pieces. You figure out what has happened. Makes you figure it out. She's off to bigger, better things. Or at least that's what we know. And then you bring in this other character who's going to replace her, and you know that something's going on. And that's what you find out at the end. He's connected to some large. But I like the fact that rid of Lois Lane, that I Clark Kent. Bring in Clark Kent. As a matter of fact, you know, Clark Kent is part of what I like Superman. Because, you know, he's hiding himself. His actual disguise is Clark Kent. Being regular is his disguise, right? And so I like more Clark, like Smallville. I love Marvel. Smallville is probably my Superman film version, where you get to see Clark Kent as Superman. And I think he kind of does this a little bit here. We get to see Clark more, which I feel like with the Justice League and everything, you know, it goes away from, you know, it's
more just all super all powerful. A human aspect of him focus on as much. And I feel like that's what Bendis is here. He's trying to Superman a little bit more. And I like it.
Yes. So this and as Action Comics number 1000, also we got to see a little bit of what Bendis was going to bring to the super mythos. I really enjoyed his take on Superman thus far. And like you were talking about, like it's he's kind of taking these elements of the Superman mythos and really like kind of taking the most obscure elements, but like deepening them. And so it really is making me interested to kind of see what Man of Steel is going to be like at the end of this month and to kind of see, you know, what his first big arc with Superman is going to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So my number, exactly. My number three is going to be The Legend of Korra. I felt like the story structure for this really felt complete. And I felt like with a lot of the Free Comic Book Day titles I picked up, every time the action was really starting to pick up, it was to be continued in. But with LaCora, I felt like it felt complete. And the thing about Legend of Korra as a mythology is that it can both be like a short story like this, but it can also do long, you know, stories that deepen the mythology, but they're always fun, and they're always, you walk away, and, you know, Brian's mentioned a lot of all-ages comics. This is a comic series that, you know, I walked away with, you know, glad that I read it, because it, like, it really does, it really tackles, you know, things with moral, you know, moral things, and I really enjoyed the moral aspect of this. You know, am I living right or am I living wrong kind of thing? And I felt like it was an interesting aspect to kind of take with the, you know, the Legend of Korra. And not to mention, I love the animals in Legend of Korra. I felt like it's awesome. But the whole slinky arm people thing was weird. So there's that. What do you got for number two, Brandon?
Number two, I have Power Rangers Shattered Grid. Now, granted, I still haven't been able to get caught up on the comics of Power Rangers, but I am a huge Power Rangers fan. It's a TV show. I've watched all the seasons. Mighty Morphin is not the best season. It is Time Force. Anyway, I put that out there. still, this book was just a lot of nostalgia for me. I love the rundown with Zordon, his chosen team, and whether I know would Dracon too. But what was really cool to me was the audience that Zordon asked for when he was asking for help and everything. Was it those three Rangers? It was a yellow, a red, and a blue. They kept switching out, like, between different Ranger seasons. Like, it starts out with, like, the Last Speed, or not Last Speed Rescue, the Time Force Blue, Mighty Morphin Red, and, oh my gosh, it's sort of blank, Time Force Yellow, and then it switches. Like, that was really cool to be seeing all that. But, anyway, yeah, this is a cool read for me because I'm a huge Power Rangers fan, and definitely is pushing me to get caught up as soon as possible because this was really, really neat. And I'm a huge sucker for them bringing in different seasons of Power Rangers into this and letting Tommy be who he was meant to be the whole time, an evil Power Ranger. And
that's a good
and
point.
Also, I know it's like that was real exciting for me because, like, the evil Green Ranger was like that was my favorite things ever in the show, and I was looking at some of the covers for some of the books, and I saw that they tie in the pink Time Force Ranger, and that's my favorite series of Power Rangers, so I had to get caught up for Jin because Jin is the goat. So that's it for number two.
Again, nice. I re-emphasize pick up Power Rangers, dude, is so good. Brian, what do you got for number two, man?
I have, again, I'm splitting the line. I have Joker in Your Big Day. And I'm saying it that way for a reason. But I'll get back to that later, I think. Joker in Your Big Day. I'm definitely a Tom King fan. Very interesting because this story here, and I'm trying to focus on one aspect of it, that is just the course of what and who the Joker is in this short story. He's obsessed. He is obsessed with Batman and Batman's wedding. And very simple, you know, he has this guy held hostage, waiting to steal this guy's invitation to Batman's wedding. And you're like going through the past reading it like, why is this guy getting an invitation to Batman's wedding? Who is this guy? And so, you know, they have the faction, and the guy is scared. I was like, oh, just kill him. The Joker's, you know, he's being a joke. It's crazy, right? And so finally, the wedding and the mailman finally comes, and the Joker gets the letter up, and he's like, "Yes, this is my invitation." And you know, you're like, "Okay, why did I get in this invitation?" Now the Joker, you know, has stolen the invitations. He's going to go to the wedding. It just crashed, I guess, to begin with. You know, you get a sense of what's to come, big wedding, the bat and the cat. And so, but then at the end, you see that the letter is not even from Batman. You know, it's from education about the guy's daughter being to school. And, you know, he's so happy that he got, and he shoots the guy. And so he's held this guy hostage. He's killed this guy. And he pretended that the letter is the invitation. And it wasn't even a letter. So you that the Joker has created a scenario in his head to give him plausible action to go to Batman's wedding. And it's just lunacy. It's complete lunacy. And I would have to say, it's simple, but so poignant, because this is who the Joker is. Like, this captures what I believe, you know, at least this era's Joker is about, lunacy. Pointed. And I think Tom King did this very well in scenes, never change setting, two characters going back and forth, and it held my interest. No fighting, but just paced very well, dialogue, the inflections, you can hear the cadence, hear the lunacy in the Joker, the way the Joker's drawn, kind of almost with a little mix between Heath Ledger and you know, is like a mix. It's perfect. This is a great story.
I couldn't agree more. That was one of my favorite stories, I think. I couldn't actually, like, pick out what was my favorite story out of, like, all of the whole DC Nation, because, like, I'm excited for No More Justice, which came out today. I am excited for No Justice, the Batman, the Bat and the Cat wedding, and this Bendez story. So it's a fantastic read, and you can actually, Brandon, if you actually want to read it, you can go to Comixology or the DC Comics app and actually download it for free.
I will do that, because I didn't get any of that.
It's good, dude.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So my number two is Power Rangers, and this is from someone who follows the series. This is a perfect, what I enjoyed about this particular issue is that this is an issue that you don't need a whole bunch of knowledge to come into the series, because it's set up as a recap, but at the same time, it's also set up to where it pushes the story further along, and it fuels the story, which is very rare that you can find a story that can balance those two. But Kyle Higgins does a really, really great job. It introduces the come on to, you know, current mythos, and while, like I said, it also pushes the you know, it further. So balances, it brings in new fans, and also it also pays homage to the fans that are paying attention and following the comic. I think that it was a very well comic, and it kind of came down to what this and my number one kind of came down to who wins kind of thing. And my number one I chose for other reasons, but speaking of number one, Brandon, what do you got?
My number one is Transform. Just kidding. Disney Princess Ariel.
Shocker.
Dude, this Ariel book was really freaking good. Like, I know I joked with y'all in the group text about it, but like, it was actually awesome. Like, you touched on it earlier about it being just funny. The humor was great. The art was great. The puns was great. Ariel was great. It was a great book. I recommend this to everybody in the world. It's on number one, and it deserves it.
Well, they're coming out with a graphic novel this summer, so there's that.
Oh, wow. About for me for my birthday. This next month.
There we go.
All right, Brian, what do you got for number one, man?
So, this is going to be a cop-out, but we do mean this. And, all right, so just work with me. My number one book is Batman in Your Big Book, which, walk me on. This is why I like this so much. My number one is actually connected to my number two because it's the same story, but it's two different stories. It's two different stories because Batman is not in the book at all. But it's titled Batman in Your Big Debt. Why? Tom creates two stories in one. He takes two characters. But the reason why we never really get to know this second character is because I believe that the second character is meant to be Batman. He is Batman. The Joker has decided to make this guy Batman while he's waiting for the Batman invitation. And he talks about Batman. It's as if Batman is actually in these, even though you never see the cape. And so at the very end, the Joker finally gets to do what he's always do, that he's never been able to, that he never will be, or excuse me, that he never will do. And that is to shoot Batman in the face. And that's what this guy does. This guy is a clean-cut guy, dark mustache, kind of get the feeling that he's almost like Thomas Wayne, Bruce Wayne. But I truly believe that this guy is supposed to represent Batman for the Joker. And you can just feel Batman. You almost, for me, you're waiting for this guy to get out of it. You're waiting something to happen to free this guy. You're waiting for him to arrive. And you realize that the hero is not going to arrive. That the Joker, that this is, even though he named this a Batman story, Batman Big Day, Your Big Day, who is the your? Is the your Joker's Big Day, or is it your Batman Big Day? The day that Batman finally died. This is the fantasy for Joker. At the center of his fantasy, the story that the Joker is telling is Batman. And he made this innocent guy in character of Batman. It's phenomenal. It's phenomenal.
All right. I never would have looked at it that way, so that's a great way of looking at it, man.
I like that story. I really did.
So my number one is Invader Zim, and my number one is Invader Zim because it is both a throwback to the series, which is essentially like Zim creates this monster who is going to enslave the Earth, and he's actually successful at doing that, but he ends up binge watching this series with Gurr. And I just, to me, I like, you know, in when comics started out, they were socially relevant, and now we have gotten so consumed with media and all these other events that we have just kind of lost that voice in comics. And so when I can find a comic that I find socially relevant, that to me is a winner, because what we do with the podcast is we teach, whether it's in churches or in panels, you know. So if I can take those things and connect them to what I'm teaching on, like, I enjoy that. And this one, you know, it's fair to say that pretty much everyone that's hearing this right now has binge watched at least something in your life. You probably have neglected responsibilities because of what you're binge watching. And that's very much the theme of what Zim and Gert go throughout. And it's funny because, like, it accumulates, like, over the course of a year. And he's successful at, you know, doing, conquering the human race. But ultimately, because of this issue, it ends up being his downfall, so he has to start all over from square one. And it was just, it was well written, it was drawn beautifully, and it really does speak to the thing that, you know, we all do in our current day and age is binge watch. You know, having everything at your feet, and sometimes if we're so consumed and wrapped up in technology, we miss the things that matter most.
So true.
But, before, what was your guys' favorite book that you guys picked up from Free Comic Book Day? Tweet to us at Victims and Villains. Leave a comment below or write to us at Victims and Villains on Facebook. But that is actually going to do it for us this week. So just kind of throwing this out there. If you're listening to this right now and you or someone you know is struggling with suicide, addiction, self-harm, or depression, please reach out. Suicide is currently the 10th leading cause of death in the United States. There are 123 suicides that take place each and every day. And for every successful one of those suicides, 25 more being attempted. That's 3,075 suicides being attempted right here in our own backyard each and every day. And for every successful, when you scale back internationally, 800,000 successful suicides take place. That's one death roughly every 40 seconds. So if you or someone you know is struggling, please reach out. The reason that we push the content that we do, the reason that we partner with the creators that we do, is so that you guys can know that there is hope, that there is a better way. You guys can reach out to us on the social media. Links are in the descriptions below. Call the Suicide Lifeline at 1-800-273-8255, or you guys can also text anonymously to 741-741. But, Brian, where can people find you online?
At Brian L. Hawkins, Twitter, and also Brian, those are the two spots on. Oh, IG, Brian Lewis, I am on IG. So those spots I'm usually social media hanging out on, I guess.
All right, and Brandon, other than the PS Midnight Cast, where can people find you online?
You know me at Instagram at The Changing of Tons, or Twitter at Brandon PSMC. That's about it.
All right. Right. Well, make sure that you guys follow these guys. Click the links in the descriptions below. Go check out America's Kingdom and be on the lookout for Angelica Reigns and No Going Back. And when you do Free Comic Book Day like we did, you are investing into more than just Free Comic Book Day. Most shops did something special with local creators, and ours was no exception. So we will have a full in-depth spotlight on some of the talent that we met at our Free Comic Book Day this upcoming Tuesday. But until next time, remember to keep talking nerd, talking hope, and speaking nothing else. See you guys next time.